Blog Talk Radio.
What a beautiful way for you to start your day, praying this song.
So we think about that resurrection morning so long ago. 3 days, maybe four, depending on how you count time, Jesus had a conversation with his disciples in the upper room, and he said, "I am not calling you servants any longer, but I am calling you friends. Because I reveal to you everything the Father has shown to me." Good step forward. 3 days later, that relationship has changed again. So it's gone from servant to friend. But on that morning, Jesus declared that we are brothers, as he commands the women to go. He didn't say, "Go tell my friends." "Go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers." And Hebrews reminds us that he that sanctifies, which is Jesus, and we who are the sanctified are of one Father. For that reason, the Bible says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. In 1 Peter, we are told that we've been begotten again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It was mentioned already this morning who God is, who Jesus is. And I expect most of us, if not all of us, believe what the Bible says about God. What the Bible says about Jesus. Do you believe? Do you believe what the Bible says about God? And I suppose most of us would say, yeah, that's not too convincing. But I also know that many of us have a hard time accepting and believing what God says about us. That's resurrection business. So we look here at 1 John. It starts out with a command. If we were following all the rules of grammar, it would say, behold, exclamation point. Behold. So what does that mean? It's a whole sentence. Behold. If you look it up, you find out behold means to perceive, to comprehend, to understand, to take in. Behold is not take a look. Behold, God is saying, behold. God is saying, you got to understand this. You have to grasp this. Grasp what? The love that the Father has lavished upon us. Now, the Bible also says to us that that love is beyond our comprehension. So it doesn't come about because we think it through, but because of revelation we behold, perceive, comprehend, and understand something of the love of the Father. That and what was so impressive about it, it says that we are called the sons of God. We were called the sons of God. And then as if to make sure we get it, he adds those three little words. Or is it four? And so we are. We're not just called sons of God as a nice little name, but that is what we are. And that's where I find many people struggle and say, well, you know, that's, I don't know about that. Why not? God already said so. Can't you trust him? Can't we believe him? So God's saying, behold, grasp this. The amount of love the Father has lavished upon us in calling us his sons. So we are begotten of God. We are one with him. God is our origin. We originate in God. And not to let it pass by, John brings it up a second time. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now. Now we are the sons of God. You know, when I was working on this, I was saying about the fact Jesus said, be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He did say that. But I think we wrongfully looked at that most of our times because we thought it was a command, that God was telling us to do this. And you know what we usually say when we think that God wants me to be perfect? We say, yeah, forget that. There's no way. But it's not a command. Again, do your grammar. It's not a command. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of fact. It's like saying, here's this Easter lily. You were an Easter lily bulb. So be an Easter lily. It's not a command. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of fact. How can we not be like him when we are made from him? It's like we could say we have his DNA. We have his genetic structure. Now that everyone who is born again, everyone who has been made a new creature in Christ, we have the genetic structure of God. We have a new nature. It's a gift from God. What shall we do with it? What shall we do with it? And see, Peter addresses this. That's why I wanted to look at that scripture in Peter. Because Peter talks about this same issue. He says, God has given to us by his divine power, what? Everything. Everything that we might live a godly life. He has given it all to us. And this everything becomes reality in our life through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Didn't say knowing about him, about knowing him. That's why three times in this little epistle, 2 Peter, Peter challenges us to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's even how he ends the book. Grow in the knowledge. And the more we grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is, grow in our knowledge of walking with him and having our life intertwined with him, the more we experience the everythings for our life. This resurrection business. Near the end of his life, you remember Paul expresses his desire, oh, that I might know him. And wouldn't we have said to Paul, Paul, you've walked with the Lord these several decades, you don't know him? I know him, but I want to know him more. That needs to be the thing within us. That we want to know him more. And I believe part of knowing Jesus, part of knowing Jesus is the realization that God has high, exceedingly high hopes, expectations, aspirations for us. It says he has called us to glory and excellence. And a lot of times we want to play sort of the humble game. Say, oh, well, that's not me. I'm just a little humble old me. But God wants a little humble old me to live in glory and excellence. And see, this is you and me he's talking about. Not some ethereal, otherworldly creatures, just plain, old, everyday you and me.